be back up, pick up on our promises we've been going through. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And I'm thankful for each one, thankful for how the Lord blesses us and the promises that we can go to. And aren't you glad for those promises that you can put a P beside it in a verse and you can cling to that and rely upon it? And I'm thankful for that. And tonight that we want to hit a subject, and you might say, I'm not sure this is promise. This is something that we are to look forward to and enjoy. Stewardship. That's a lot of times we feel that as a duty instead of a blessing. Amen. And we think of it that way so often. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, the Bible says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And a steward is a person who manages another person's property or finances. So a steward is someone that operates for someone else, using someone else's property. And we are stewards unto the Lord. And I jotted down here, and as before we go any further and we talk about giving and we talk about the things of the Lord as far as money is concerned, the first important thing that we need to realize, and I'm afraid that most people or a lot of people don't get this, the first thing that to realize about money and possessions is that it all belongs to God. Every bit of it is His. We've just been entrusted with what we possess. And I remember I used to work with a guy, and he said, it's not ours. We just borrow it for a little while. And then when we go on off scene, somebody else will borrow it. Amen? If we can't take it with us, it's not ours. Amen? If I went to a car lot and I bought a car and they say, yeah, they took my money, and they said, well, wait a minute, you can't leave the lot with it. Well, that's not my car. But so it's the Lord's, and if we can grasp that in our minds, I believe that the doctrine of giving and a doctrine of tithing and a doctrine of giving unto the Lord would be a lot easier to get a grip on, because it's not mine anyway. In James 1:17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so we see that the word here, gift, in this verse, it's two different words. The first one, good gift, and then perfect gift, it's two different Greek words. And the first one is talking about, I guess, the act of giving. It speaks of a good gift, the act of giving, or the benevolent in the character. So it's speaking, but the second one speaks of left nothing wanting, or the thing that's given. It's the bestowment that's upon us, and also the spiritual gifts. And it speaks more of what? Because what did it say? The first one says good gifts, but second one, perfect gifts. Only the things of God's perfect. And the things that He has bestowed upon us spiritually, the things that there's nothing more perfect than eternal life, is it? And the blessing. What about the Holy Spirit living inside of us? What a bestowment of a blessing that we have received. That's perfect. And aren't you thankful for that tonight? And as we think of the gifts that we have received, ought we not be as given with them as God has been for us? I mean, He has blessed us. Most of us has everything we need and most everything we want. Amen? I mean, we most of us has got our wants. And I mean, the food and the housing and a lot of this stuff just, I mean, we kind of take it for granted. And then that's the needs, and then the blessings, you know, the extra things that God gives us. Aren't you glad for those? Aren't you glad for a gas grill? Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Ain't there something about the hamburgers and hot dogs and the steaks and the stuff that comes off of those? What a blessing it is. What about riding a lawnmower? Isn't that a blessing? If you ever pushed one that my grandma had with just the reels, you'd say, boy, man, give me that riding mower anyway. And we're laughing at these and we're kind of chuckling over it. But these are blessings. Blessings from the Lord. You might say, preacher, we worked hard for that money. We did work hard for that money. But it's still a blessing from Him. It's still that He gave us the strength to work. He gave us the opportunity to work. And most of us wouldn't have bought it if we hadn't got a good deal. So He worked a good deal out for us. Amen. What a blessing.
I get people think that preacher's finally lost it.
But as we're talking about giving tonight, and this is nothing that I come up with. This is the next one in list of the line. So, giving should be voluntary and cheerful. And what makes it so special is it ought to come from the heart. Come from the heart. The seat of emotions is who we are. So this verse here tells us that we ought to give as from the heart. The Bible said that here that every man according as he purposeth in his heart, or as he chose in his heart. See, we allow the heart to dictate and allow God to work. See, God likes to work on the heart. When you got convicted of your sins, God worked on your heart. When you get convicted for doing something that you ought not do, or something the Bible says, or maybe this, whatever, it's God working on the heart. And when we give cheerfully and bountifully, it is God moving on our heart, because naturally we don't want to do that. Amen? I mean, the natural man would say, I'm not giving, I want more, more, more.
Got any extra, you throw it in. If you need some, you just get it out.
Uh,
Amen.
But when we try to ponder, to justify, and think, oh, well, we can come up with an excuse not to. That when God moves on our heart, and so often that you'll know what it is, and sometimes you may not have a long time to prepare for it. It may be the spark of the moment that I've had the Lord to move on me and say, well, give such and such. And I don't know why, but I'll share this. Hadn't thought about it. But Rhonda and I went to Disney several years ago, and we ran into a group of, it was a missionary that had a group of folks from, I can't remember exactly where they were from, Haiti. And the guy's mission and what his ministry was, now this will just tear you up, his ministry was burying the dead. The bulk of his ministry, they would make caskets out of paper mache and they would bury the dead. That folks couldn't afford to bury them. They didn't have the money and stuff, and they would just die and lay in the streets, and their ministry most of the time was to bury the dead. And I was supposed to talk to them earlier that day and I didn't. It come a little rain and we got under a shelter. We see him up there, and the Lord said, go talk to that group. I said, oh, I'm on vacation. So we went on about our business, and that evening was a big show. There is no telling how many thousand folks was at that show. And we kind of got there a little bit late, so we was hunting a seat. And we come in and we was looking for a seat. I mean, it's full everywhere. And we just and just so happened, the only two seats that we could find. Anybody will guess where they were? Right in that group of that missionary. And God directed this right to that group. And when we sat there and we talked and I got to know them a little bit, and these fellas, and one of them was in Disney. And he had his Bible with him in Disney. I mean, they were loved the Lord. And so we sitting there, and before I got up and got ready to leave, God said, give them some money. He said, give them some money. I got up. But it is good when we have it planned out. See, that's an offering. That goes beyond. I believe that it is our duty as Christians that we tithe 10% to our local church. That's the best place in the world to start. It sure is. But the Bible tells us here that we give and not grudgingly. Proverbs 22:9 says, he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Bountifully, the merciful heart. Does people ever move your heart? When you see somebody and we have a compassionate heart and God moves, and this is what he's talking about, that we're merciful, that we, you know, even if we have little or nothing to give, God moves on us and we give. If you want to be blessed, now I'm not saying health, wealth, and prosperity, but if you want to be blessed and receive the blessings of the Lord, you have to first be a blessing. Amen. And I thought about, and as I was thinking about this, what about the little boy that wanted to go see Jesus and his mama packed him a little lunch?
5 little barley loaves, 2 fishes. And she said, this will be enough to get you back home tonight. And here's your dinner. He probably kissed his mom on the cheek and thanked her for it. And skipped off down the road, skipped rocks across the creek. And as a little boy would, gone about his business. He had his dinner for the day. He got to see the Lord. He got to be in a crowd, a massive crowd. Was having a big time. Well, it comes time to eat. And he's the only one that had any food. Wow. Have you ever thought about that? And then one of Jesus' disciples come up and said, hey, boy, what are you doing with that dinner? Won't you let us have it? But my mama gave me that. And he gave his dinner. Praise the Lord. A little. A little bit. And he fed 5,000 people. And I'm convinced there was, let me see. That after, when they tuck up in, I believe it was 12 baskets. 12. Said, be sure we don't waste nothing. Boy, I could preach a message right there. Be sure we don't waste anything. Be sure. See, when God blesses something, he wants us to take care of it. He wants us to use it and not waste it. And then he said, be sure you get everything up. But do you ever think the coincidence of maybe it being 12 and then 12 disciples? A basket for each disciple. Could you see a little boy going home? The 12 men followed him. And his mama would say, what is this? And he said, it's my leftovers. Boy, I'm gonna whip you for life. What a lesson. Now, I'm not sure that's kind of a twist, but I'm not sure that's the way it happened. But it sure makes sense, doesn't it? And God blesses. And if nothing else, if he didn't get the 12 baskets of leftovers, how many messages have been preached about this little fella? How many Sunday school lessons, how many object lessons has been used about this little fella, little as much when God's in it? What if he would have said, you're not getting my lunch. It's my lunch. And he had that opportunity. He could have said, no, why, you're not getting my dinner. Mama fixed that for me. I'm eating by myself. But look at the blessings he missed out on. Being used mightily of God.
Praise the Lord. See, if God owns everything, he don't need us anyway.
Amen? He just allows us to be part of the blessing. And I can tell you tonight, the Word says it, you will not outgive God. If you do it out of a cheerful, loving, sincere heart that you give to the Lord, and God moves upon your heart and you give, he's going to bless you a lot more than you give. Do you know why God loves a cheerful giver? Anybody? Because it shows a heart like his own. What kind of a heart
has God got toward humans? Well, just look at the beautiful world He made us to live in. I mean, it's first class. There is, I'm convinced it's the most beautiful thing in the universe other than heaven. I mean, but I'm convinced, wow, how beautiful. And everything that He's done to put it in place, and the things and the gifts He's given us. And, well, look at America. We've been blessed to live in America. And not only that, He gave the best heaven had to offer. He sent His only Son to die for us. So God blesses giving. If we will give cheerfully of our talents, if you've got a talent, God can bless people with you. Amen? You might say, I don't have much of a talent. All of us got a little something we can do. And if we will allow God to use our talents, you know, I'm afraid if we don't use them, He just might take them away. What about our time? Well, we don't have much of that, do we? That's one thing everybody has the same amount of. You know, some folks might have more money, some folks might have more talent, but everybody's got the same amount of time. 24 hours a day. 2.4 hours is the tithe of our time. Woo! Do we owe that to the Lord? Should we give that to Him? And then our treasures. What God has blessed us with that we, I think we should give of it to Him. Proverbs 3 and verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. The substance here is means or points to capital, to what we have. And then increase is the revenue. So he's saying for what we possess, to honor the Lord with it, with the first fruits of all of our revenue. And the first fruits, as we talk about the first fruits here, is the what God has blessed us with. The first place should be the first place. The first check we ought to write ought to be a tithe check. Amen? And if we get that right, I'm telling you, God will bless. David said when, I'm trying to make a long story short, but when he had numbered the children of Israel and wasn't supposed to, and God sent a plague and he stayed the plague, and David then went and purchased the threshing floor of Araunah, and when he asked him for it, Araunah said, you can have it. And David said, I will not offer nothing to the Lord that don't cost me something. I will not. If I don't pay for it, I'll not offer it to the Lord. And, most of us would say, wow, he's going to give me the threshing floor and the sacrifices. David said, oh, no. If somebody gives me something, I'm not giving that to the Lord. I'm going to pay for it. Wow. I want to share something, and the Lord stirred me with this last night, and then I'll be as brief as I can. But in the book of Haggai, and the children of Israel, this was after the Babylonian captivity, and pockets of Israelites were going back to the land, going back to Israel, and they had went, and God had moved upon them to start building the temple. They had started building the temple, and then it had sat there
for 16 years and nobody had built on the temple. And the Lord, this is the prophecy that the Lord sent by Haggai. Haggai 1:1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, said the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it is come to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. You know, I'd rather happily give than the Lord have to withhold his blessings from me to get what I should have been given. Here in this, we see that they had withheld, they had held back, they were building them nice homes, they were building everything up, and the house of the Lord had laid waste for 16 years, and God had moved upon them and brought them back into the land to build the house of the Lord. I tell you, we as Christians, that lots of times, if we're not careful, we get too concerned about building for us and building up and building our nest eggs and what it is for us and making things comfortable for us, and we're letting the work of the Lord set idle, that we're letting it go and not giving and not funding the things of God. There's missionaries that's not on the mission field tonight because people's not giving. There's folks that's going hungry because the church is not taking care of them. There's a lot of things that's happening, and it's because that we are worried about our sealed houses. And God spoke pretty straight to them here. You know, in 2 Corinthians 9:6, But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You know, sowing sparingly, if we wanted to sow our front yard, and it was an acre, would we get a pound of seed and put on it? 1 pound, not going to make much grass. You're going to wind up with a lot of weeds. I don't know how much for an acre, but I'd say 10 to 15 pounds. Maybe even more than that. You want plenty of seed. We'd sow bountifully. We'd put the straw on. We'd throw a little fertilizer. And we would want a good crop to come. See, when we sow bountifully to the Lord, it's an act of worship. Did you know giving was worship? We worship him in our giving. And it's also an act of faith. That sometimes we give when we really can't afford it. If we, and God blesses this. Now I know this is a good, this is a given church, and I, like I said, as we come in, I'm just going through as they come down the row, but I thank this church, and even through the COVID-19, this church has been given and faithful in the giving. I think that's why God blesses us the way he has. That's the way God, why God's been blessing. The giving this church does to missions. And the giving this church does is, and God blesses it. And he will continue to bless it. In the near future, and I won't get into it now, but in the near future, we as a board will be challenging you a little bit. We'll probably be bringing you up a project, and we may issue a challenge. It's the benefit of the Lord. He's blessed us and been so good to us. See, we have missionaries, the ACOGs, and all the different ones in the Philippines. And I've received a couple letters from Alexander Ramirez and Brother Rodell and pictures, and I need to bring it, but all the pictures of their churches and the folks. And boy, COVID-19, they said a lot of folks didn't get to come because they'd been in lockdown, but God's been blessing the work. And we're part of that. We've been given to the work in Montana. I've been working on a church in the process of building a church in Sevierville, right out of Sevierville. And I've been down there working the name of the church 24/7, Brother Chad Cavett. And these, when we support works like this, God blesses our church, and then we're involved when they reap. When folks are saved, we reap the blessings. We're just like, we might as well be part of that church. Isn't that a blessing? So that's all I have. But what does the Bible say? It's more blessed to give than to receive. I've been on the receiving end. When things is bad and things gone down and someone comes up and helps you out, I'd rather be in on the giving than the receiving. Amen. Amen. Thank you again. And I want to say again, I appreciate this church. But when the more we give, the more God will continue to bless. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for your blessings, all your goodness, your mercy and grace. Lord, thank you for this congregation. Thank you for opportunity to us be together. Thank you, Lord, for what you have entrusted us with. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings of it. We thank you, Father, that we receive these blessings, and help us in turn to give them, to be a blessing. Cast our bread upon the water. Lord, did we know that you said that it'll return to us. And God, we thank you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for in the past how that you have blessed abundantly. God, I pray for this church. I pray for our nation. I pray for all of our members, all of our family. Lord, that I pray for Sunday morning, that you would move. And God, that you would save a soul. You would touch hearts, and you'd challenge us and encourage us. And Father, we love you and praise you tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.